Let's stand and read Haggai 2 and 9. And like I say, this is just kind of a starting point. I'm going to share this morning, share my heart a little bit, share some stories, share out of the Bible. And I believe that we can be blessed this morning if we will just get into the presence of the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. I've been reading that verse now for some months, maybe getting close to a year, that I've been declaring that and reading it every service. And it's not just a verse, but this is our vision. This is what we need to see, what we need to strive for, where we want to be long term, is that the glory of this house shall be greater than it has ever been. That's our long range of what we're looking for. We're getting ready to celebrate 80 years at Mill Creek Church of God. And I believe that the next 80 can be greater than the previous 80. I believe the next one can be greater than the last one. The next five can be greater than the last five. And the next 10 can be greater than the last 10. We serve a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You can go back just a verse in Haggai and you see that God owns all the silver and all the gold. There is nothing that God is lacking. And I not just believe, but I know that we can see greater things ahead. I know this because over and over in the Old Testament it was proclaimed that there was something better coming. And indeed we did see better. We see that in the last days, once we get to the New Testament and even the end of the Old, that in the last days God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Pour out means without reserve, without measure, that He just tips it over and pours it out and lets it keep running on us, and there is no end to God's bucket. If I pull up this bottle and I take the lid off and I start dumping it, soon it will run out. There's a limited supply, but there is an unlimited supply when God starts tipping over His bucket and pouring out on us. So I'm going to talk a little bit about simple principles this morning, and I've got two different passages we're going to look at, one in Luke, one in John, but I want to share a little bit up front. That's our vision, that the glory of the latter house shall be greater. It's no great vision for a new year or a new thing or anything like that. It's just a simple biblical principle that we have as a vision. God can do more than what He's already done. But we see that in other places. In Habakkuk chapter 2, Habakkuk is praying, and the Lord answered him, and He said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. In other words, the vision doesn't need to be complicated. The vision needs to be simple, and I'm proclaiming to you a simple vision for Mill Creek Church of God, that we be greater. We be greater in our relationship with God. We be greater in our relationship with one another. That we be greater in pursuing everything that God has for us. Plain, simple. You don't have to have a degree. You don't have to understand things to read that and make sense of it. We just need to strive for more. More of God. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. Hallelujah. Proverbs 29 and 18 tells us that where there is no vision, the people perish. The ESV reads, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. We probably need a mix-up of those two translations or interpretations of that. Where there is no godly vision, the people cast off restraints and ultimately do not make heaven. That is really what that is saying. If there is no prophetic vision, if there is no biblical foundation and principle, no guide rails of which you follow, you just simply want to do what you want to do and not what God has, then you don't make heaven your home. That's what that verse is telling us. So we have to have a long-range vision, and our long-range vision is simple. It's heaven. And I'm a firm believer that if you don't strive for every gift and everything that God has for you, then why would He want to give you everything that He has? You have to strive for what God has for you. You have to reach and work in your gifts and your callings. You have to I know we're saved by grace. We've been down this road 100 times, and I preach that, but we also have to strive for what God has for us. He's not just going to give you the Holy Spirit when you don't ask for it, when you don't seek for it, when you don't make effort to sanctify yourself. You have to do the things that you've got to do. That vision is long term. It's the destination that we want to arrive at some point. I pray that everyone in this church house this morning wants to make heaven your home. And I pray that you want to take as many people as possible with you. Why would you want to go to heaven alone? Why would you want to go alone? Vision is aspirations, dreams. It's where you plan to go. But make no mistake, you must have a plan. Now, I'll tell you, that's my job as pastor, is to provide a plan, to shepherd, to make sure the door is guarded, to do these other things. The destination must be clear, but the plan must be clear also. So the plan would be our mission. Most of you are familiar with vision statements, mission statements. Vision is your long term. It's where you want to go. Mission is what you are doing now. And most of you may have noticed that I've changed the banner. That's why I had Joni put this up and leave it up. From place to grow, space to grow, place to serve, to just something very simple and clear. And this is really where I'm going with the message this morning. Chase Jesus, love people. Can it be more simple than that statement? If you want to know the mission statement of Mill Creek Church of God, chase Jesus, love people. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's what we do. And that is also how we reach our vision, how we reach our goal. You can't reach the end if you don't chase Jesus along the way. And I've got scripture to back that up here in a bit of how chasing Jesus is exactly what we need to do, not just wait. But we also have to love people along the way. And I've got scripture for that. And I'm just going to share 2 different stories on that. But sometimes we also need to reflect a little before we move forward. Turning the calendar seems to bring about evaluations and adjustments and causes us to look at our vision and our mission. This is nothing new. This is something I've been proclaiming for months. The mission statement underneath has been changed some time back. But as we get ready to turn the calendar, I wanted to reflect a little bit on 24 also. How many of you know our parking has doubled in 2024? And we did it debt-free. We didn't have to go get a loan. We simply doubled our parking in 2024. The capacity to serve the community around us has doubled this year. Praise be to God that that has happened. Not only that, we had a culvert that was falling in. The concrete was sinking down, and it was causing problems. You know what? We've been able to replace that and have it repaired, and guess what? It was debt-free. God has been good to us in 2024. We've had increased youth involvement this year. I don't know how many of you were here for the candlelight service, but I think that night we had 18 or 20 kids here, all of them participating and taking part in what we're doing as a church. You don't see it on Sunday mornings. You don't see it some other times, Wednesday nights, because they're in children's church. They're in their own classes upstairs. They're doing things in their space. And at a level that's appropriate for them, but we have seen increased involvement and attendance with their youth, and I'm thankful for that. We aren't perfect, but we're blessed. We're far from perfect, but the God that I serve is perfect. Even through all of our imperfections and the challenges that we face throughout the year, our attendance has increased consistently from the first of the year to the last. We're seeing more people in the door now than we did at the beginning of the year. Our average age is dropping. Our attendance is going up. I see more and more evidence that if we just faithfully pursue Jesus Christ, the vision will happen. That the glory of the latter house shall be greater. We just have to be faithful to following Jesus. So what does all that mean, really, the vision part? I'm going to spend more time on the mission, but I want to make sure you get this. We need more for the glory of God. It's not for us to increase or for us to proclaim anything good for us. But if we're going to make heaven crowded, if we want to take more people with us, we have to build more to reach more for the glory of God. We have to make heaven more crowded. We have to have more impact on the community, more missions, both local and global. We have to have more of Jesus. Why more of Jesus? Because this house is built by him. It's built for him, and it's dedicated to him. This is Jesus's house. That's the vision, just bigger, more, seeing people saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, creating more laborers for the harvest. There is a world outside these doors that is lost and dying and going to hell because we are stuck in a church house doing something that we did 80 years ago. I know there are no amens on that. But if you look around in here this morning, I don't think I see any visitors, and I see no one that I would blatantly point out and say, that's a sinner and they need Jesus. The facts, the numbers, real life speaks for itself. We need more laborers to be able to go out there. Thank God that we get Celebrate Recovery up and going. That is reaching the lost and the dying. We need more because God wants it all. More to help build so the next generation can continue the legacy that has been built here at Mill Creek Church of God. Mill Creek Church of God was set in order in 1945. I've told y'all this multiple times this past week. We're getting ready to enter year 80. That part of the church was built about 1950, give or take. They started out down on Long Fork, if I'm not mistaken, and then they built the church up here around 1950. Then within 30 years, they seen the need to build and leave legacy for the next generation where they could serve and worship and honor God. And this was built about 1979, 1980. Now, all of a sudden, we're 45 years past the time of this being built. It's time to leave a legacy for the next generation. But if we can't do that, if we don't find a way to reach them. They don't listen to lectures to learn. They are impacted by relationships and biblical models of simply walking out our Christ-like being. We have to be like Christ to everybody we encounter everywhere along the way. We need to be like that woman at the well. We just go and tell them everything that Jesus has done for us because he has been so good to us, we ought not be able to be still about it. We ought not be able to be quiet about it. We ought to be wanting to tell everyone how good God was to me, that he kept me from dying and going to hell, that he preserved my life even when I don't understand why, even at times in my youth when I did ignorant things and by all right should have died. He woke me up the next morning and give me life yet again. The mercies of the Lord were new day by day. I need to just be willing to tell everyone that Jesus loves me. He done this for me. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you've got going on. I don't know what you need fixed. I don't know what he will do in your life, but I know what he has done for me. So that's the vision. The mission is we must chase Jesus. Short term, right now, we must chase Jesus. Every one of you in here must chase Jesus. If you've gotten tired, you feel like giving up, you can't. If you give up short of the goal, you do not cross the finish line. You have to keep pushing forward. You have to keep chasing after the one that died for you. Now, I know there's biblical examples, and tonight, that's a message I'm going to preach about Jesus passing by. Sometimes he does pass by. But over and over again in the scripture, we also find people calling out to him, walking towards him, fighting to get to him, just so they can touch the hem of his garment. They fight. They make sure they're chasing down what they need. We have to chase what we need, and we need Jesus. There was the woman with the issue of blood. Everybody is familiar with this story. You can find it in Luke chapter 8, verses 43 through 48. It said that she had had an issue of blood for 12 years. Now look, I told you, I look around here this morning and I figure probably most everybody in here is saved. I hope you are. I hope you have given your life to Christ. If not, today's the day. You can give your life to Christ today and you can start on a new path. You can make heaven your home where before it wasn't. But if you are, even then, sometimes you have years, not days, not weeks or months. You end up in seasons of years to where you struggle. You end up in seasons of years where you can't seem to find the answer. You end up in periods of years where people shun you and make you an outcast, and you do everything in your power just to find a way to get back in, and it doesn't seem to work. That's what this woman was going through. This is where she was at. 12 years she had been unclean, impure. She believed she wanted to go to the temple. If she didn't want to go to the temple, she wouldn't have chased Jesus. She had faith in God that God could do what God needed to do. But she was unable to get there because she was shunned. She was outcast. She was impure. She went through a season of 12 years. What are you going to do when you go through a season of 12 years that you can't seem to get a prayer answered? In our microwave society today, I know exactly what we do. We give up. We lose hope. We quit praying. We quit seeking. We quit knocking. We quit asking. We quit doing the things that God has told us to do because we feel like He has failed us, but we've got biblical models that sometimes it takes year after year after year of pursuing before you ever get what God has for you. But she kept chasing. I would imagine in year one, she probably didn't chase a whole lot. She was, and this is just the story that's in my head. I can't prove a word of it. But I imagine she had probably spent most of her life going into the synagogue or the temple. I believe that she probably had people that cared and loved for her, and she probably stayed rather busy around the house with maybe family, extended family, other folks. And then all of a sudden she gets this issue, and I don't know how many of you have been sick, but I imagine most of you have, that you get sick and the first little bit isn't so bad. You can just kind of deal with it. But as things wear on, it gets worse and worse, and it wears on you mentally more and more. Also, when you stay busy all the time and you're always on the go and something happens and you get sick, sometimes that first week or two or even month or two is almost like a period of rest. You no longer have to run. You don't have to worry about doing this. You don't have to worry about doing that. You're able to sit down and catch your breath a little. Now, don't look at me like you've never been there. You get there. Whew. Boy, I'm glad we've got a break from Christmas. And let me tell you a personal story. I'm glad we've got a break from Christmas. I don't like all the commercialism and all the other stuff that goes in with it. You want me to tell you how we spent Christmas? With the blinds drawn, the lights off, watching Christmas movies, enjoying each other's company. Our kids were hundreds, maybe even 1,000 miles away in one case, and we just enjoyed the season. And we enjoyed each other. That's my idea of Christmas. Not all the dinners, not all the running, not all the presents, not all of the other things. I'm thankful it's behind us. But sometimes when you hit those busy seasons, what I'm trying to tell you, and you get sick all of a sudden and you hit this wall where you just can't go, sometimes it's almost a reprieve, a rest, to where you can just sit down and catch your breath for a season. But when that season keeps dragging on, it gets tiring. You're ready for a change. You want to get back to routine. But then you can't. I imagine that's where she was at. She was probably thankful for the first little bit. Well, I get a break. I know I've got a little bit of trouble. God's going to take care of me. I'll find the right doctor. I'll find the right rabbi. I'll get to the temple at the right time. I'll find the right preacher to pray for me. All of these things, it'll be okay. I'm going to enjoy the rest for now. But then 1 week turned into 2 weeks, and the doctors couldn't help. 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and all of a sudden there's no rabbi, no one willing to go into the temple to make a sacrifice for. Then 2 months turns into a couple of years, and even her family has quit going around because they know that she can't go do the things with them that they want to do, and she's not going to be able to participate, and that she's just going to be whining and crying about the season that she's in. That's how life goes. They wasn't all that different then as we are now. But then all of a sudden, 2 years has turned into 12 years. And where most people would have complained and given up complete hope, this woman is still chasing Jesus. She has not given up hope. She has not given up the fact that God is God. She has not given up on that God can still heal her when everyone else has failed. She just simply chases after Jesus. Said that she had spent all she had on physicians and that no one could heal her. But she chased after Jesus and just got to the fringe of his garment and touched him. Friend, we need to do the same thing today. We need to not grow weary in well-doing. We do have a reward waiting on us at the end if we don't faint, if we don't give up, if we will continue, no matter how long the season lasts, no matter how hard the season is, there is a Jesus in front of us that we need to continually chase after, walk after, fight after, and sometimes it is a fight. This woman had to press through the crowd, unclean, shunned, and would be in a world of hurt if they knew who and what she was trying to push through the crowd. And yet she did it anyway. And then when she touched Jesus, something happened. When she touched Jesus, power left his body, and she was immediately made whole. But it wasn't the touch, it was her faith. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." You've got to work. You've got to chase. You've got to push. You've got to do the things that God has set in front of you. And if you don't faint, you will reap in due season. You will get exactly what God has promised for you. But the problem is we keep chasing Jesus looking for reward on this earth. You know what he's promised us? Heaven. Let me just ask you, why are you chasing Jesus? Are you chasing him for notoriety, for a name? Are you chasing him so something will happen in your life? Are you chasing him for something physically, mentally, spiritually? Or are you just chasing him because he's good and he's promised you heaven? The reality is it needs to be the latter. Right? You remember the vision? The vision is just simply heaven. We can have no other vision. The mission to get there is to chase Jesus. Not for what he can do now, but for what he has promised and who he is. Let me move on. We also have to love people. Chase Jesus. That's how you get to heaven. Love people. That's how you get them to heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life, right? We often stop there, but when you go down to 17, it says God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, Jesus didn't come to condemn. For year after year, I'm guilty. If I'm pointing fingers, they're also pointing back at me, so don't think I'm pointing them at you or any particular denomination. The church in general for years has tried to tell sinners how to live to get to heaven. I don't know why we expect sinners to live a particular way and think that that will get them to heaven. It's not. All it's going to do when you tell them what to do, how to live, what they need to do, what they don't need to do, it's going to fracture your relationship, it's going to drive them away from you, and it's going to drive them away from the Lord. Jesus did not come to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. By proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to them, what happened immediately after this story is the woman at the well who didn't go and say that Jesus condemned her. She didn't go tell everybody what they were doing wrong in her village. She went and proclaimed what Jesus done for her. Do you hear what I'm saying? We think that we should tell sinners that what they're doing is wrong. Friend, they know it's wrong. They know that it's wrong. They don't need me to tell them that turning up a bottle of beer at 6 o'clock in the morning with their eggs is wrong. When I was doing it, I knew it was wrong. That's why I hid it from some people. You don't want everybody to know that you're so bad of an alcoholic that you're drinking beer with your eggs at breakfast. You know it's wrong. I didn't need someone to tell me it's wrong when I've done a multitude of other things. I knew. But I didn't care. They don't care. Until Jesus gets a hold of their heart, they don't care. And no matter what we clean up on the outside, we can have them act like the perfect Christian, like most of the people in our churches, and they will miss heaven just like a lot of people in our churches. It's not your behavior. It's not what you do. I know that we've got to live holy. I understand that. But you can live a holy life and not have your blood, have the blood of Christ covering your heart. In other words, you can follow the list of rules, right? But if you don't have your heart under the blood, you're not going to heaven. If you don't have your blood under the heart, you're not going to heaven. We try to clean up when we should be trying to cover up. We try to clean up behaviors when we should be trying to cover their heart with the blood of Jesus Christ. Quit expecting from people unreasonable, unbiblical expectations and start showing them the love that Jesus showed them. Everywhere in the Bible that Jesus went and caused a scene and raised a ruckus, it was in the church. He tossed tables in the temple. He run people out with a whip from the temple. He didn't do it out in the streets. When he went out to the streets, he just told them about the love of God in a simple way that they could understand. And when he come into the church house is when he started causing a scene. We expect people out there to act like us in here, and they can't do it. They don't have the same Jesus that we have. They don't have the same Holy Spirit that we have. We've got unreasonable expectations of sinners. Let me move on from that. Can I tell you that love is greater than condemnation? Love is greater than condemnation. We can't condone bad behavior. Let me be crystal clear, because I know someone will take it and run with it and say that I'm saying you don't have to be holy. No, you have to be holy. But there's a process to get there. I wasn't holy when I was first saved. I had the blood. I was justified before God, but it took a little bit for the Holy Spirit to work on me. Get them to Jesus. That's where they need to be. We can treat addictions. We can dress them how they want. We want them to dress what we deem appropriate. We can change behaviors and they'll still go to hell. I don't want people in the church going to hell. I don't want people out there going to hell. God sent his only begotten son so they don't have to go to hell. We're in here declaring the good news of Jesus Christ so they don't have to go to hell. We're trying to get people to heaven. I'm trying to make sure you get there, that you have proper restraints, that you know the love of God, that you have the Spirit guiding you along, that we can make heaven home. Love is greater than condemnation. Simple principles. Simple principles. Not just for you personally. That's who we are as a church. We need to chase Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. I know there's place for correction. I know there's place for other things, but at the core root of it all is the blood of Jesus Christ. At the core root of everything that we are is the blood of Christ. Without the cross and the resurrection, we are not Christians. Without the cross and the resurrection, we are not Christians. Simple principles. And I believe when we follow the other part of that, loving people, I'm not talking about loving them into hell, but there's a way we need to go about doing what we do. We need to show grace and mercy. God has been so good to me, and he has shown me so much grace over the years. It's hard for me not to show grace sometimes. Sometimes too much. Sometimes it has got me in trouble. Sometimes I can be a little harsh too. I'm kind of like the church, I guess, in that respect. I keep swinging this way and this way, and I can't stop here in the middle where I'm supposed to be. I'm not talking about loving them into hell. I'm talking about loving them and telling them what Jesus has done for you. Loving them and telling them that God gave his son so that they didn't have to be condemned, but so that they could find life. Loving them and getting them in here to where we can just love on them and build family and relationship with them and open up the door to be able to speak into their life. So our vision is simple, that the glory of the latter house shall be greater. I stand on that. I believe that. I believe God spoke that into my heart just like He spoke about enlarging our territory. I believe we'll see that come to pass just like we've seen the land. We've got parking. I believe we're going to get to a point where we have to build, because I want to leave better for the next generation than what we have now. Some of you wasn't even here when this was built. This is better than what was here before. I'm looking to do bigger and better for the next generation that's coming in now, so that they can have somewhere to worship the next 30, 40, 50 years without having to worry. That their kids are the ones that have to worry about vision next. Chase Jesus. Love people. Now the altar call, I'm going back to the chase Jesus. I know how seasons go, and we all are in some season in our life. Every one of us is in some kind of season. Some of it's good seasons. Some of it is seasons of doubt. Some may be in seasons of disbelief of what's going on. All kinds of different seasons we go through in life. But I know that if you keep chasing Jesus, that when you fight through the crowd, when you fight through the noise, when you put in the struggle and you finally get to where you can just grab the hem of His garment, that everything can change. Let me rephrase that. When you grab a hold of Jesus, it's not that it can change. It does change. When you get a hold of Jesus, it changes. Now, some of you may be in a season where you've kind of loosened your grip. You're 10, 11 years into some season. And you've struggled and you've hurt and you don't understand and you're not seeing results and you're not seeing fruit. Keep pressing. Keep chasing. Keep fighting the crowd. Quit listening to people. Start reading the Bible. Chase after Jesus. Because when you do get a hold of Him, that season changes and shifts. Now, for altar call this morning, number one, if you're not saved, if you've never committed your life to Jesus Christ, I would encourage you to do so today. There's no time like the present to get started. Because whether you're 5, 50, or 100, you're not promised tomorrow. You're not promised the end of today. I remember being in high school, and I went to several funerals of good friends of mine. Wasn't anybody's fault. Accidents, things just happen. Why? I don't know. But I know that you're not promised tomorrow. You're not even promised the end of the day. But if you make things right with Jesus Christ, then you don't have to worry about your eternity. You still have to worry about earth, but you don't have to worry about your eternity.